Welcome to the program, God and Country, a program that examines world events in the light of the Bible. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. The big news item over the last 2 weeks has been the TSA, Transportation Security Administration's, new scanners and new security pat-downs at the airports. John Pistol, the TSA chief, admitted that they did not tell the public in advance about these changes, allegedly for the purpose of not tipping off the terrorists. And on November 1st, the TSA workers began getting out the rubber gloves and frisking passengers. The procedure is to go up and down the body and up to the breast portion. If it's a female passenger, you're going to see if there's anything in the bra. Agents will run his or her hand up the inside of the passenger's leg. Why must they do this? Because plastic explosives cannot be detected by metal scanners. In addition to this, the TSA has purchased full-body scanners, and these scanners show passengers in the nude. They want the public to get used to this and consider it normal. Passengers are outraged. It's bad enough that we have to show up at the airport 2 hours before the flight leaves, and we have to wait in security lines like cattle. Now we have to endure being violated. Video clips show TSA workers patting down children that would result in a molestation charge in any other setting. Adult men and women are being humiliated. And this is a violation of our civil rights and our right to privacy. As it says in the Constitution, Article 4 of the Bill of Rights, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizure shall not be violated. But in a totalitarian state, you see armies of government workers searching people at checkpoints. What has happened to our country? And how is it that these government agencies brazenly assume they have the power to do such things? And to add further insult, TSA officials admitted that congressional leaders and senior U.S. officials are exempt from the new airport screening. So now there are two standards, one for the bureaucratic leisure class and the other for the working class. Last week, I saw a photograph that told it all. The picture was of a nun being patted down by TSA officials, and the caption read, "The terrorists have won." Now, is this event happening at the airports a big deal? Should Christians even be concerned about such things? Well, to some degree. There is nothing happening in the world that doesn't fall under the sovereign rule of Jesus Christ. And there are things Christians can learn from every event. Every event reminds us of some biblical truth. Either it's another example of human depravity, or of God's sovereignty, or prophetic signs of the time. I'm sure when you heard the reports on the news, biblical principles of right and wrong were going through your head, formulating opinions. I find that most Christians do know how to think biblically about current events. So this program is not going to be telling you something that you don't already know. But as it says in 2 Peter, I stir you up by way of remembrance. God's word gives us guidance during these turbulent times. Psalm 119, oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all of my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts. God's word does give us guidance and has something to say about how we're to live. In assessing the TSA pat-downs, a number of biblical principles came to my mind, so I'm just going to list a few of them. It's not a complete list, but it's a place to start. The first thing that came to my mind was the oppression of evil. What has happened to America that we now look like a police state? Remember back in the 1950s and 60s? Americans could board planes without any checkpoints because people were law-abiding, and to blow up a plane with innocent civilians was unthinkable. Those were the days where women and children could walk on the streets at night in safety. But now nothing is safe. And this reminds us of the ancient nation of Israel in her latter days. Safety was gone. Isaiah 42, the Lord was pleased for his righteousness' sake to make the law great and glorious. But this is a people plundered and despoiled. All of them are trapped in caves or are hiding away in prisons. They have become a prey with none to deliver them, and a spoil with none to say, give them back. Now, the oppression ancient Israel experienced was far greater than what you and I are experiencing today. But what we're experiencing is the beginning of our oppression. Jeremiah in Jeremiah 2:14 writes, "Is Israel a slave, or is he a homeborn servant? Why has he become a prey? Are American slaves? How is it that we're now oppressed by terrorists? How is it that the terrorists are making us wait in long lines at airports, ruining our standard of living, making us spend billions on security measures? You and I are paying for this dearly through our taxes. Each one of these full-body scanners costs $200,000 apiece. And every one of us knows that the Islamic terrorists are deliberately sending out false terrorist plans just to harass us with fear and to cause us to spend billions on security. They win a victory just by our reaction to their threats." Why did God say ancient Israel has become a prey? Because this was God's punishment on the nation of Israel. Psalm 106:40. "Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against his people, and he abhorred his inheritance. Then he gave them into the hands of the nations, and those who hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were subdued under their power." And in Deuteronomy chapter 28, we read that the curse that would come upon Israel if she disobeyed the Lord was that the Lord would smite them with madness and with blindness and with bewilderment of heart, and that they would grope at noon as a blind man gropes in the darkness, and they would not prosper in their ways, but they would only be oppressed and robbed continually with none to save. Now, I'm not blaming America for the acts of the terrorists, but I believe God does remove his hand of protection off of an immoral, ungodly nation. God promised Israel that if the nation would obey him, he would put a hedge of protection around the nation. In Exodus 34, God said that if the nation would keep the holy days, he would see to it that no nation would covet Israel's stuff. Under the righteous King Jehoshaphat, God gave the nation special protection. 2 Chronicles 17, "Now the dread of the Lord was on all the kingdoms of the land which are around Judah, so that they did not make war against Jehoshaphat." And there are many other examples of this principle in the Bible. And I believe that this principle in part applies to today. When a nation is blessed of the Lord, that nation is protected from oppression. What we are seeing in our day is the removal of God's protection. And the hardships we must endure is because we have become an ungodly nation. That which used to be a convenience, air travel, now becomes an inconvenience. And it's only going to get worse unless we repent of our immorality, of our abortion, of our greed. But here's a second principle. The oppression is not just coming from the terrorists. The oppression is coming from our own government. Americans don't want to fight terror by bringing terror into the airports by way of TSA agents. Listen to these passages from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 1. "For behold, the Lord of hosts is going to remove from Jerusalem and Judah both supply and support, the whole of bread and the whole supply of water. And I will make mere lads their princes, and capricious children will rule over them. And the people will be oppressed, each one by another, and each one by his neighbor. The youth will storm against the elder, and the inferior against the honorable." The oppression that came upon Israel was not just external, but internal. Israel's own government oppressed the people. The punishment upon Israel was that her leaders would be foolish and fickle. Different classes in society would fight against each other. And we in America are punishing each other, taxing each other, bankrupting each other, more than any terrorist organization could ever do to us. 200 years ago, in a more godly age, God blessed America with leaders who believed it was not the duty of government to do everything for us. We needed to do for ourselves. And that government, in an attempt to help, often does more harm than good. Thomas Jefferson wrote, "I predict future happiness for America if they can prevent the government from wasting the labors of the people under the pretense of taking care of them." After 9/11, rather than trust private airport security, the knee-jerk reaction was to create a government-run airport security system with a new army of federal workers. Socialists love more federal workers because they vote pro-socialism to protect their jobs. At that time, true conservatives protested that this new program was unnecessary. But too many people in our country think that when there's a problem, it's the institution of government that needs to fix it. If children are having difficulty in school, Rather than a government official saying, you know, there's nothing we can do about this, this belongs to the institution of the family to fix. Instead, the government immediately thinks that we must start some new government program. If there are poor people, rather than appeal to private charities, people look for some new government program. People are status, not biblicists. And therefore, they believe the solution is always to take away some personal liberty and give the responsibility that belongs to the individual and give it to government. This is how republics become dictatorships. Thomas Jefferson also said, timid men prefer the calm of despotism to the tempestuous sea of liberty. Here's some more Jefferson quotes. I would rather be exposed to the inconvenience attending too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it. Also, he said, I think myself that we have more machinery of government than is necessary. Too many parasites living off of the labor of the industrious. He said, the policy of the American government is to leave their citizens free, neither restraining nor aiding them in their pursuits. He said, I'm not a friend to a very energetic government. It's always oppressive. Most bad government has grown out of too much government. But do you see how Jefferson's philosophy is no longer taught and believed in? The events of the last few weeks remind us, once again, of the oppression of unprincipled, unbiblical government. Ezekiel 22:27, her princes within her are like wolves tearing the prey. Here's the third principle. This is the punishment on having twisted values. One of the problems here is our government's unwillingness to profile. Rather than identifying would-be Islamic terrorists by their name, religion, or ethnicity, the TSA subjects everyone to the same level of search. Now, common sense tells us that a 5-year-old white kid traveling with Caucasian parents with a Midwestern accent and a 90-year-old grandmother is not going to be involved in jihad. So why pat them down? But the TSA responds to this argument. There may be some homegrown Tea Party terrorists like the Unabomber or the KKK, but that is really not the current threat. If the threat was from the American citizen, then we would have been doing these kind of pat-downs back in the 1950s. We're doing this today because of Muslim terrorists. Remember in the 1970s when there was a rash of plane hijackings by the Cubans? That was their way of getting back to Cuba. The government created a task force to study how to stop the hijackings. And the solution was found in profiling. Law enforcement has always used profiling to identify criminals. Israel has a greater security threat than the United States. And yet you will not see them patting down grandma. They profile. In Israel, ethnicity, race, and religion and behavior are the factors. Israel security agencies call it the human factor. One writer wrote, when you go through an Israeli airport, you don't have to worry about taking off your shoes. Airport security in Israel is not about what's on your feet or what's in your pocket or what's in your underwear, but what's in your head. This reminds me of Judges chapter 12, when the Old Testament judge Jephthah used profiling to identify people of the tribe of Ephraim who were sneaking in. The men of Gilead would ask them to pronounce the word Shibboleth, but the Ephraimites could not pronounce the sh sound, so they said Sibboleth. If that happened in our day, the ACLU and some speech therapy organization would sue. But the philosophy of the United States is much different from that of Israel. Profiling is just so offensive to our policymakers that they will spend billions, create needless lines, and engage in illogical searches just to avoid any hint of profiling. And you have to ask why. Why are they trying so hard to cover up the fact that religion and nationality has something to do with terrorism? I think it's a theological error. First, our generation believes so much in relativism that there's no right and wrong, and we refuse to acknowledge that there is sinful ideology, even sinful religion. The second theological error is this. In our American emphasis on individual rights, we have overlooked the biblical truth of corporate responsibility. If a member of our family sins, we have to take the rap and be inconvenienced by their sin. We are our brother's keeper. If people look like my family, my people group, or ethnicity, and they're involved in blowing up buildings or involved in illegal activity, I have to accept being inconvenienced. And I shouldn't complain about being profiled. I should be happy to clear my name and happy to help stop these perpetrators who are ruining the testimony of my ethnicity. If Caucasian KKK guys start blowing up planes, then pull over and check all white guys. Under those circumstances, I would be glad to be inconvenienced. But why don't other ethnicities have the same mindset? I think many of them do. But the liberal policymakers keep telling us that they would complain and be offended. I don't think so. I wouldn't. The third theological error is this. Because of the influence of secular humanism, there is a sinful overemphasis on fairness. Everything has to be equal and fair. If one person is inconvenienced, everyone has to be inconvenienced. If one people group is involved in a crime, then all people groups have to be equally inconvenienced. The TSA knows that they will not find bombs on grandma. But in order to be fair and to look impartial, you have to be inconvenienced as well as Mohammed. No one can be worse off than others. All have to be equal. It is all men are created equal, taken to an ungodly extreme. And it's rooted in man's hatred of accountability. This is the jealousy of Joseph's brothers against Joseph and Cain's jealousy against Abel. In the secular mind, no one person can be better than another. No one can be accused of sin because there's no such thing as sin. So what I'm saying is that because America's values have become unchristian and because our values have been distorted, Americans can't make the distinction between prejudice and legitimate profiling because our leaders no longer have a moral foundation for ethics. And when America had more Christian values, we had in our souls the right balance between corporate responsibility and individual rights. Our actions at the airports are the result of our sinful, twisted, theologically incorrect understanding of people and the world. And when people don't have biblical values, they do nutty things. And this becomes a punishment upon us all. The leaders try to play this game of fairness and relativism, and they make believe reality is not reality. But anybody with common sense sees that the king has no clothes. This problem with terrorism on the planes could have been taken care of very simply and very cheaply, but not for these people. The way of the transgressor is hard. And as the prophet Isaiah writes, they will fall backward, be broken, snared, and taken captive. Also, Jeremiah writes in Jeremiah 4:22, "For my people are foolish. They do not know me. They're stupid children. They have no understanding. They're shrewd to do evil, but to do good, they do not know." Finally, the new procedures of the TSA remind me of a fourth biblical principle. Do not participate. Psalm 141, verse 9 through 10. "Keep me from the jaws of the trap which they have set for me, and from the snares of those who do iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets while I pass by safely." Psalm 119, 122. "Be surety for your servant for good. Do not let the arrogant oppress me." Psalm 119, 134, "Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts." A theme that you'll find reiterated in Scripture is that we are to avoid the trap and punishment that will fall upon the wicked. The oppression at the airports is just one more oppression on the wicked, and it couldn't have happened to a more deserving people. Let me explain. I was just reading John Calvin's treatise, How to Use This Present Life and the Comforts of It, Book 3, Chapter 10 of the Institutes of Christian Religion. If we are only to pass through the earth, there can be no doubt that we are to use its blessings only insofar as they assist our progress rather than retard it. He who makes it his rule to use this world as if he uses it not, not only cuts off all gluttony in regard to meat and drink, and all effeminacy and ambition and pride, excessive show and austerity in regard to his table, his house, his clothing, but removes every care and affection which might withdraw or hinder him from aspiring to the heavenly life and cultivate the interests of his soul. Those who are much occupied with the care of the body usually give little care to the soul. Therefore, while the liberty of the Christian in external matters is not to be tied down to strict rules, it is, however, subject to this law. He must indulge as little as possible in the luxuries of this world. The point is this. Maybe God doesn't want you flying all around the world. Maybe he wants you to stay home and share Christ with your neighbors. Work in local prisons and missions. Take the money that you would have spent on that flight and spend it on the Lord's work. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't take a flight if it's necessary in the business that God's called you to, but avoid the temptation of unnecessary, self-indulgent travel. This oppression at the airports is a punishment upon the jet-set crowd, the leaders of society who put us in this mess. They are reaping what they have sowed, and why should I, as a child of God, jump into the mud puddle they have made for themselves? What you're going to see happening in our society is that good people will start opting out. They're not going to play the game. Why should they start businesses only to pay heavy taxes to support a bureaucratic leisure class? Why buy new homes just to pay exorbitant real estate taxes, which go to support bloated teacher pensions? Good people can and should vote with their feet. Policymakers think that the sheep can be fleeced continually, but good people just stop working and stop buying. There are better things to do with our time and money. And for the Christian, not playing the game can put you in a more fruitful place of ministry. Don't wait in their lines. Not just the TSA lines, I'm speaking metaphorically. Don't wait in any of the lines created by the world or by the devil. They are created to waste your time, the time that you can use to serve Jesus Christ. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 26. For to the person who is good in God's sight, he has given wisdom and knowledge and joy, while to the sinner he has given the task of gathering and collecting, so that he may give to the one who is good in God's sight. This too is vanity and striving after wind. And the point of that verse is, let the sinner do the vain task of gathering and collecting for this world. The Apostle Paul gives his young disciple Timothy advice in 2 Timothy chapter 4 to not be entangled in the world. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlists him as a soldier. You need to apply that verse with balance, but it does need to be applied. Too many Christians allow the world to oppress them because they desire the things of the world. Paul also warns in 1 Timothy 6:9, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. And we read in Luke chapter 8, the seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with the worries and the riches and the pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. There is no shortage of Bible verses that warn the believers to avoid letting the world get a handle on you. You were bought with a price. Do not become a slave of men. And remember the words of our Lord to those who would follow him. He said, let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. Don't let the world waste your time. Make some decisions today to serve God and not the world. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. This is a ministry of Harbor Bible Church in Central New Jersey. Our website, where you can listen to past programs, is godandcountryradio.org, and our telephone number is 732-583-9286. And our off-the-air special resource for the month of December is a CD entitled The Theology of Christmas. This is a good resource to share with those who desire to be discipled in the real meaning of Christmas. We also have a resource available from the month of November, a CD explaining the doctrine of the new birth. Contact us and we will send you either CD. The CD is free. If you wish, you can send us a donation of $3 to $5 to help us cover the material costs. That's godandcountryradio.org, 732-583-9286. Let's close in prayer. We pray, O Lord, that through all of the oppression upon this nation, many would see the futility of this world and turn to the Lord. Help many to see that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And you bring blessing for those who turn to you, blessing not only in this life, but for all eternity. Amen.